454 regarding Aaron Miracle DVM monthly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided. Good morning. Hello. Okay. So we did get test results back. Correct.
Yeah, from the hair test, yes.
Okay. And then, so kind of sounds like testing saga continues for,
you know, yes. It just happened. And I mean, I've learned some things, which is fantastic. I had no idea that creatinine, like urine creatinine in people, was something we used to determine if samples are tampered with or if there's an extra dilution or anything like that, which led to additional health issues. In 2017, trying to get the timing, I had bariatric surgery. And I had a letter from my intern because it was brought up to me that that's going to affect not only the specific gravity of the urine samples that I give, but the creatinine levels as well. And it falsely lowers them just as part of the surgery. Like, I'm kind of in a constant state of malnourishment because of it.
Can I interrupt you just for a second just to tell Dr. Miracle, because you're talking about your personal health information, if you're more comfortable talking to the board about those specifics that you're giving in the executive session, then they can do that so that it's not in.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not something that I'm uncomfortable talking about.
Okay. So. I just wanted to give you that opportunity. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Know,
go right ahead.
That's fine.
Okay.
So when that was brought up to me and I was trying to figure out why the creatinine was such an issue, I did contact my bariatric surgeon to find out like what was going on with that. We'd get a letter that I had provided to Ms. Whitmore, along with a proposal that I'm hoping we might be able to find some common ground with, so that we can not only continue the monitoring program as the consent agreement needs me to do, but also provide backup tests, assurance tests, I guess, of a different sample. I had recommended that because the creatinine is such a variable with my urine samples because of my health, that maybe once a quarter I can submit a hair test that's going to give me enough knowledge so that it's brown like it is now, and I don't color it too close to what I have to give a sample to make sure that that's adequate. And then that would provide supporting test results, I guess. I'm not sure how to phrase that, but just as a way to say, hey, I recognize that my own personal health issues and health history have kind of altered an assurance to the board that I'm not abusing any sort of substances. So taking that extra step to do something every quarter, be it hair or nails, is something I'm totally willing to do because I want you guys to have that assurance that I'm not trying to find a loophole. I want to be able to get this testing saga to calm down and move on with it and find a routine and make sure everybody's comfortable.
Okay. So I don't know if this is more for Victoria or Mark, and so I'll wait for just a second here, but so the hair test wasn't ordered by the board. That was voluntary. And I kind of we've done nail tests before, but there's some we kind of did our own research of 2 weeks, you know, of growth. But then the other question is, as far as what are we testing for with, you know, the current samples that we're getting where we're getting discrepancies, right, versus hair versus nails, are we testing for the same substances? And all of those tests, because I don't know. I don't know. That's not my area of expertise.
It wasn't clear to me from the hair test if it was the exact same profile. It looked like a more brief profile. And I did ask Community Bridges to give me more information, but that was just a couple days ago, so I haven't heard back from them about that, because they're the ones that ordered the test.
So, is there any sort of recommendation for us, is should we be asking for, should we be asking for specific profiles being run, and should we be, like, asking for, like, male, if we're going to have variation, or do we just accept what we get? Like, how does that factor into the agreement that we have? Do we have any opinion on that? Because I, again, I don't, this is not my area of expertise. I'm asking now, you, right? I don't know what the right answer is.
So that, I'll jump in.
Okay.
I believe that the consent agreement says that the board can order any type of test the board wants to order.
Okay.
We have been taking the lead of Community Bridges because they're experts in that.
Okay.
I did point out to them the creatinine and specific gravity issues, because there were three of them, which is a trigger in the consent agreement. At that point, when they were aware of that, that's when they ordered the hair test. So I believe they also considered ordering a nail test, but Dr. Miracle said she didn't have any fingernails, enough fingernails at that point either, so they went with the hair test, you know, originally. So they're, to kind of answer your question more, that they are the experts in that. She's, you know, she's trying to transition to Recovery Track, which is a different program, but will you still be working with Community Bridges? In some degree?
I can if I need to.
Okay.
Recovery Trek is providing the same services, which is just basically the monitoring service. And if I needed to attend meetings or anything like that, they would monitor the attendance and the tracking of those meetings. And from what I understand, they'll also monitor abnormalities and make recommendations for additional testing if they find abnormalities with the samples. Community Bridges is supposed to be forwarding all of the information, including prior test results and such, to Recovery Trek as well. And they both have the releases to talk to each other in the event they need that information.
Okay. And what Dr. Miracle just said is my understanding as well of Recovery Trek, is that if I had a question in Recovery Trek, I would be able to reach out to their medical director and ask those questions and things like that, which is very helpful. I think it's difficult right now because she's kind of like in the middle of these two. But I would think that the board would want to look to one of these organizations who are experts in that to ask, you know, for further delineation about this other medical condition she has that could impact creatinine, and should there be other tests? I mean, just from a practical level, it seems obvious that, yeah, there should be other tests. Because she's probably going to keep having weird creatinine levels if it's based on some underlying health issue. So I would think we would want her to do some other test and to do that. And I don't think you have to amend the consent agreement, because the agreement already says the test, the board can do what they want.
So then should we direct board staff essentially to communicate with the new provider about appropriate testing? Since we're kind of in between.
I think so, especially that, you know, the hair test came out fine, but the layered part of it that we don't know is that I'm not positive that it was testing for all the drugs that we wanted to be tested for. That's one piece I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but that is something that Community Bridges should be able to tell me, because they ordered the test.
Yes. So we can ask that also then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
Two-part asking.
Everybody agree with that, the two-part asking there on the testing?
Yeah, if there's any concern, to bring it.
Yes. And then, so Dr. Miracle, otherwise, there was some communications, obviously, that were had, and I was kind of concerned because you were talking about how stressful work was and such, so can you kind of elaborate what's going on? Or?
Most of it is adjusting to, so the clinic has never had four doctors before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have four doctors, one of which is who graduated this year, and then myself, who graduated in 2020, so reasonably new veterinarians. So we're adjusting to the staff having that many doctors and the noise level that brings into a clinic when all four of us are running surgery and/or snake animals in full schedules and things like that. So, you know, the staff has had its ups and downs, and people have gotten mad and snarky and occasionally, but thankfully the managers have been pretty on top of that as far as addressing concerns and making sure that morale stays where it needs to be, and giving us as the veterinarians lots of time to speak up and say, hey, you know, this is not working. We need to fix this. It's been kind of busy, which is great because it wasn't busy before, and I like to stay busy. So busy is kind of crazy, though, keeping up with records and all of that. I've had some euthanasias in the last couple of weeks that were particularly poignant, you know, and those take their own emotional toll. And my therapist is fantastic. And, you know, it's really awesome to have somebody that's not knee deep in everything that I can vent to and talk to, and kind of release that stress, which is nice.
Now, I know the last time you were here, you're kind of exploring adding relief to your plate. Where is that at?
It is still in the exploration phase. I have not taken any relief just because of how busy we've been. My days off are treasured, especially because my youngest is 15 and they have things they want to do with me, and I need to take that time that I have at home and prioritize my family.
Anything else? Any updates that you want us to know?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm happy it's getting busy, but man, it's adjusting. So I'm confident that the clinic can handle it after we kind of find that stride and keep going. Everybody there is really optimistic, and they all really love what they're working, and that really shows. And our clients, I have some of the best clients I've experienced, even with my years as a technician up in Kingman. They're appreciative, they're thankful, they're fantastic.
Any other questions? Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided, including review of compliance with interim consent agreement. Dr. Nosley is recused, and Dr. Thompson may depart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had to do a quick glance at the clock to see if you're still in the morning.
How are things going?
Good. Looks like you've been faithfully going to your meetings.
Yes.
And you've had your breathalyzer tests at work.
Oh,
yes. How's that going?
Good.
All good. Well, I didn't see any positives on there, so that's
just
good.
Just that one day, and everything I can find was I was sick, and I had a fever, and I was vomiting, and that was blood test that afternoon was normal.
Yeah, and so then your most recent test was negative as well. Again, just a reminder, I see we get the information from the one testing center that you didn't show up. I know that you go to the other one to do the test, but you still need to be working on your plan should the testing center decide they're not going to be doing the random announcement for you. So just make sure you have something in line for that. Cause
I keep looking, but I haven't found anything reliable.
Oh, that's just giving you that forewarning.
Yeah.
If they stop, then that's 100% your responsibility to figure out how to. Mm-hmm. We can't have a gap there because we've been talking about it for a while. So,
yep.
But I'm glad to see that you're moving in the right direction and things are staying negative.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting into a tough season for a lot of folks. So do you have some extra help for the holidays coming up?
As far as
you know, this does tend to be a time of year where people have relapses and things like that. So,
I have no family and no friends out here, so it's just my husband and I and AA people, and it's the same thing every day.
Just remembering so. That you have that support team, and as you yeah. as you go into the holidays. So, but I don't have any further questions.
Are you under the weather, Dr. Humphrey?
Yes.
What's going
on? It's been a week. I thought I was over it, but my throat's been sore and scratchy, so I'm wearing a mask for everybody else.
Thank you. Thank
and
you
I'm
very
not touching
much.
The table.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, well, I don't have any further questions. I guess we'll see you.
Feel better soon.
I'm feeling much better. I just don't know that I'm better, so I don't want to get anyone else sick.
Fair. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Very much. Okay.
Well, we'll see you next month. Thank you for the update.
Okay.
And congratulations on having another good month.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, section 5, number 1, we do have Carrie Dixon, DVM, and the applicant served on the investigative committee. I'm going to step forward for the go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dixon, Kansas State 2017 DVM. I currently work as an area chief for Banfield. You know, kind of in that role, I oversee a lot of doctors and a lot of hospitals, and I see a lot of things that make me uncomfortable. So trying to make those better, but I think being part of the committee would help me further be able to really figure out how to make those things better from the inside, how to develop those new doctors, but also the older doctors, how to help them as well, and everybody else in general, but them in particular, because the doctors are a little bit more my domain.
Okay. Ms. Fallman, you're in.
Yes, I have a couple questions for you, Dr. Dixon. How long, you mentioned when you graduated, how long have you been practicing, how many years?
So 7.5 now. So I graduated May of 2017, and my first day was June 11th, 2017, as a doctor.
Thank you. And why do you want to serve on the investigative committee?
So I've had, we have our challenges as a company, not gonna lie, I think we're all aware, and because we have so many different doctors and CBTs and staff with so many different backgrounds, training and ability level can be very varied. And I really want to be part of the change and part of the solution to make it better. Banfield has been a great place for me to develop as a doctor. I've had wonderful mentors and wonderful support staff. And I really want to do that for other people as well, that if they want to be part of our company, be that mentor, but also raise them up. And I think because I do like to look at the Vet Board website and see what some other doctors maybe have done that have not been as positive, so that I can bring that into my own practice and not repeat some of those mistakes, but like get more of kind of that inside look at what's not right, what we are doing that we need to fix, and how can I bring that back individually to my doctors, but also bring that back systemically to the entire company.
Great. So what you would get out of serving on the IC and bring back to your employer, but what would you bring to the IC itself as a new member?
I hope just enthusiasm, and because I only do clinical role about 1 or 2 days a week, so I have the ability to be flexible with my schedule, be here when it's needed, and really be present both for the other members, but also the doctors or cases that I'm in charge of.
Okay, you've gone into my next question. Generally speaking, the meetings are close to all day. Not always, but often. They're usually the first Tuesday of the month. Can you make that kind of commitment as well as the pre-meeting prep time that would be required?
Yes. The current clinical days are Friday, Saturday. Rest of the week is mine to do with to mentor my doctors, but to schedule as I feel is appropriate.
And you would give IC priority?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I've already discussed with my boss. Yeah, she's fully supportive.
Great. I have no further questions. Do any board members have any questions? thank you for being here today, and we'll let you know the outcome.
And if I could just add also, they're going to be interviewing people at the November board meeting as well, so that it'll, hopefully they'll make a decision in November and we'll let you know.
Yeah, with the holidays and all that, no,
it's
not expected.
It's going
to
be
like
20
minutes
after. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Beck.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
So our first part is being set up. We could probably go ahead and go back to section 2, the IIRs, I believe, 24157. And so if Mr. Cole was cleaning up for here. Okay, so we're going to go to section 2, number 11, case 24157, regarding Polly Melton BBM. Casey, could you please read the front load?
Yes, case 24157, the complainant is Julie Benner. The respondent is Holly Melteson, DVM. On May 4th, 2024, Minzy, a 7-year-old female chihuahua, was presented to respondent after being bitten by a rattlesnake. Blood work was performed. Respondent recommended hospitalization for IV fluids, antivenin, and pain management. Complainant declined due to financial constraints. An estimate for an outpatient treatment plan was provided, which included antivenin and IV fluids. No charge for exam or pain management. This estimate was also declined due to financial constraints. The pet owner set up a collection fund through social media. Due to respondents' concerns for the dog going into shock if fluids were not administered, she reached out to the premises owner to approve fluids and pain management at no cost to complainant. The premises owner approved, and the dog was treated prior to discharge. Good Samaritans were providing donations directly to respondents' premises as well as to the pet owner. Once enough funds were received to treat the dog, respondents' premises called complainant to bring the dog in for treatment. Complainant had elected to take the dog to Mexico for treatment and did not want to turn around and go back to respondent. A short time after dropping the dog off at the veterinarian in Mexico, complainant was called and advised that the dog had passed away. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent administer sub-Q fluids to the dog, a treatment that is not appropriate for rattlesnake bites. And the committee did not review this case. This was a straight to board for your review and consideration.
Okay. Let's see. So no complaints present. Mr. Stoll,
do you have a... My only comment is no good deed goes unpunished. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And Dr. Tossley?
Yeah, this is, I mean, these are really heartbreaking cases when the need for care is there and the care could be available, but the funds are not. And, you know, this unfortunately is the situation, and it's really difficult when it's your pet and you just don't have the funds to do everything that needs to be done. And, you know, the respondent in this case did give things and kind of went above and beyond, in my mind, in providing those treatments without any charging. The fact that the clinic did that is big. And yes, the complainant did put together a GoFundMe, and that was very creative, and kudos to her, kudos to people that donated, but at the end of the day, you still have to have the money in order to get the services rendered. And so I don't really see a violation in this case. I see it more as just an unfortunate circumstance for this pet. So I will make a motion to find a violation.
Dismissed.
Yes.
Second. A motion
and
second.
Yeah, I mean, my only comment is, this is one of our old board members' favorite words is frivolous. This is just, I can't believe this.
Well, I think we see more and more of that, right? People don't understand.
Personal responsibility.
Right, well, but they also compare it to human health care, right? You could go in and get some things taken care of, and they don't understand that it's still, unfortunately, it's harsh as it sounds, it's a business, and in order to operate and care for animals, a bill needs to be paid. So it's just hard because we see pets as our family members, and that's a really, really difficult thing to comprehend, especially when you're in a stage of grief. So
I just want to say that human health, animal health, my senior annual physical was $120 less than my senior cat's annual exam. So.
Except for your insurance rates.
No, that was before insurance.
$120.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor to dismiss with no violation?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, we're still, if you would say, we'll do the last IIR. So section 2, number 8, case 24-141, regarding Jennifer Sullivan, DDM. Tracy, could you please read the front one?
Yes, case 24-141, the complainant is Julie Subramanian, and the respondent is Jennifer Sullivan, DVM. On May 28, 2023, Hank, a 9-year-old male Shih Tzu, was presented to respondent's associate due to respiratory distress. The dog was hospitalized for diagnostics and treatment. The following morning, the dog's care was transferred to respondent. Respondent noted the dog had improvement, had approved, and discussed the dog's condition with the complainant when she was visiting. Respondent wanted to keep the dog another night for monitoring to ensure he could be safely weaned off oxygen. Complainant was not satisfied with the care that was being provided and elected to remove the dog from the premises against medical advice. At discharge, complainant made staff aware that the dog's weight was incorrect. She expressed concerns that medications that were not properly calculated were administered to the dog. When respondent was made aware of the incorrect weight being recorded in the dog's medical records, she calculated the drug dosages and was confident that this did not impact the care and treatment of the dog. A former staff member had recorded the weight in the dog's record when presented on May 28, 2023. Then the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. When it was moved and seconded, the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Thank you. So no complaint or respondent present.
Yes, thank you. So going through and looking at this, yeah, there was an incorrect weight, and that was corrected on the form that was brought to the attention of the doctors, or the doctor. When you look at the dosage calculations, though, I agree, even with all three of these drugs, it's pretty hard to overdose on any of them. So even still, there's still an acceptable safe dose range based on that extra 5 pounds in there. So you can see in I understand the concern from the owner, and it's not necessarily great that that was missed, but this also doesn't affect anything in the long run because it's still within a normal dosage that you could pick just for whatever you're seeing. The only thing I had a little bit of concern with was kind of the response, and I don't necessarily want to say it's a flippant response, but I would have apologized if it would have been a problem. It's like, well, you still should acknowledge something. Just even acknowledge it, maybe probably the best idea. Yes, you are correct. These doses are fine, but I didn't like the, I would have apologized otherwise. So I don't necessarily think that raises a violation. Hopefully this veterinarian kind of listens to these things and just sees, maybe you want to have a better way of having like a bedside manner response. But other than that, I don't see an actual violation. So I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
I have one technical correction. On the report, it refers to the under committee's recommended disposition. Mr. Booth is not a DVM, so it's just Mr. Booth. And Mr. Bennett, I don't recall whether he's a DVM or not. No. Okay, so it's two Mr.'s, no doctor.
Thank you.
We have a motion and second. Dismissal, no violation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. We are now at 11:30, so we can go to section 3, number 1. Now I believe that the complainant is expected to be here in person. Are we here, maybe outside? In the, there are people sitting out there.
Oh, I'll go check.
Okay, just in case. And then we are calling, it looks like, the respondent.
I just can't see anybody.
Thanks, Tom.
Is that better?
Nah, it's probably just my old eyes. Don't forget to change the recording in final when I start that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Tell me.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're...
Check the number.
You might want to do star 8 too, just in case as well.
Oh, you're being called now.
Might be her?
For the informal interview of Dr. Edwards in case number 24-123. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Edwards, please introduce yourself.
Dr. Velvet Edwards.
Thank you. Dr. Edwards, you have received the letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
No.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. The complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary on the case?
Case 24-123 on February 12, 2024, Sadie, an 11-year-old female Shih Tzu, was presented to the respondent for dental and extractions. The procedure was performed. The dog was recovered and discharged later that day. On February 14, 2024, complainant presented the dog to respondent's premise due to pain and swelling on the right side. The respondent suspected an insect bite or puncture from a plant. The dog was treated with diphenhydramine, dexamethasone, and prednisone. The complainant saw improvement initially. On February 27, 2024, the dog was presented to Trilogy Veterinary Medical Center due to continued pain and an open wound from the dog whipping. After evaluation, Dr. Schneer suspected the dog's wounds were related to thermal burn, possibly from the recent dental procedure. Treatment was provided. Later that day, the complainant visited the respondent to relay Dr. Schneer's findings. The respondent advised that she does not provide heat support with heating pads or blankets. Staff explained that they use towels that have been warmed in the dryer to keep surgery patients warm. The dog returned to Dr. Schneer periodically for care and treatment of the wound until March 21st, 2024.
Dr. Edwards, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Dr. Edwards, we would like to now give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I believe you have all the records there. I don't have anything to add, except that we do not use anything that would cause a thermal burn.
Okay. I'd like to now ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Edwards.
This is Dr. James, and I have a couple questions. I think my questions are primarily around the interaction with the pet owner after they were informed that it looked like there was some type of a thermal burn. And I was wondering if you could kind of describe the conversation that you had with the owner and how it went.
I did not really have a conversation with the owner. She walked in and I was had a full afternoon of appointment. So she was told she would have to wait, and so she did. And I saw my appointment, and I came around the corner where we have a hallway, and I came out to the front. Sadie was underneath the bench. I didn't see Sadie. She jumped up, accused me of burning her patient, Sadie, and I'm like, we don't use anything that would cause a thermal burn. We have nothing in the practice that would do that, so it cannot be a thermal burn, at least from me. So she just scooped up Sadie and took her out. I didn't see the wound. I didn't confront her because I'm like, we don't use that stuff here. So there's no way this is a thermal burn from me. And that's all. I didn't see Sadie. Didn't examine her.
Okay.
Far onto the bench.
Okay. Were you expecting that the owner was going to come in? I mean, obviously you were in appointments, but did you know that that the owner was concerned about something and wanted to talk about it?
No.
And this client had been a long-term client of the practice. Had you worked with her specifically before?
Yes. I mean, Sadie's adorable. We love Sadie. She's been a client for a long time. She's had numerous dentals here.
And have you ever had interaction with the owner like this before?
No.
And any thoughts on what might have triggered her to be, I mean, obviously the burn itself and being told that it was potentially a burn might be inflammatory, but why she would have reacted that way at the clinic?
No, I have no thoughts on that.
Okay, those are all my questions.
I have some questions real quick. Just this is Dr. Wright, and thank you for being here. I have some questions about the procedure and how it's actually done. So you're doing a dental procedure on a 14 and a half pound dog, and you don't use any kind of thermal warming support?
We use warm towels. We're not risking having a thermal burn. She's in a trough because she's that small, and she's warm towels put on her. Warm towels, meaning from the dryer, not from the microwave, nothing hot enough to do anything. That's how we keep them warm. I expect some temperature dropping because we're wet during the dental, but we do not use anything that's going to cause a burn, and that is my policy, and my staff has been with me for years. There is no way that dog got a burn here.
So you just use towels from the dryer for a warming?
Yes.
How hot does that dryer get? Because dryers get very hot.
Well, it's like your home dryer. It's not a commercial dryer. And no, they're not hot enough to retain any heat, first of all, to be that long to cause a thermal burn. Not only that, she's in a truck, so she's not on her side. So there's no way she could get a burn. She's in a truck. Her sides are laying in it.
Do you put a towel between the trough and the patient, or on top of the patient?
No.
And the trough?
On top of the patient.
So the patient's skin is touching the trough directly, or the fur, I should say.
Yes. There is a towel put there before they have their dentals, but it's never, the dogs are not picked up, heated towels put underneath them, and the dogs put back. No, they're laid on top of the dog.
And then do you put
and
towels?
They're not, I mean, they're not that hot. I mean, we can touch them. I can, put my arms on them when I'm cleaning teeth, so they're not hot. They're warm.
Okay. And then when you place them back in the kennel, do you also use warm towels, or are they placed directly on the cold metal? What do you do with the patients when you return them to the cage, the kennel?
We typically use just warm towels.
Beneath them?
We don't put them on
top
of
them? Surrounding them?
Usually on top of them. And there's always a technician there, so there's no You know, we don't just stick them in a cage and walk away. So there's always a technician there until they're fully awake and up and out. So, but we, again, we don't have anything like that to cause the burn. I don't have any equipment like that in my hospital. I don't have warming blankets. I don't have a warm surgical table. I don't have anything like that. We rely on just warm towels. If we need to, in a critical patient, we might warm up a bag of food, but we certainly didn't do that for her. So, yeah.
So when the patients return to the kennel, is there a towel underneath them also? And is that a warmed towel, or is that a regular towel, or no towel, or what do you do with that?
There is.